So, how much did you make?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. It's time for the Morning Open, where we check in on business and the economy as the markets begin the trading day. Some very big companies reported earnings this morning, and some very big companies got, shall we say, nudged by the president. We'll talk about that in a moment. But first, where's Wall Street? The S&P 500 is up 0.3%. The NASDAQ up almost 0.5%, and the Dow is 20 points on the plus side. It's at 10,061. European stock prices are down almost 1%, and Asian markets were moderately lower today. Okay, let's look at a couple of the top stories this morning with Chief Economist Hugh Johnson from Johnson Illington Advisors. He joins us live from Albany, New York. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, lots of earnings reports this morning. Which corporate profits hit with the most impact?
Well, I think at the top of the list are the Boeing numbers, and that was a pretty big disappointment. They lost pretty close to $1.6 billion, $2.23 a share. Unfortunately, those numbers were not as good as we'd been expecting on Wall Street, so it was a big disappointment. I might add their sales were also disappointing, being below expectations. So the Boeing numbers are sort of taken some of the gusto out of this market and made a lot of investors that are concerned about valuation sort of stand still and wait.
Okay. And otherwise, President Obama, as I mentioned, chided Wall Street last night in New York. He told bankers, we bailed you out. Now get on board with financial regulation. What is he going to get out of Wall Street?
Well, he's not going to get much cooperation out of Wall Street. Wall Street wants no regulation and was going to push back very hard on any suggestion that there be regulatory reform. So you're not going to get cooperation from Wall Street. He's going to have to move this through Congress, which, of course, is consumed by health care, but he's going to have to move this through Congress by himself. He's not going to get the support of Wall Street. It's very needed. It's very necessary. But unfortunately, you're not going to get a real enthusiastic cooperation from Wall Street.
Okay. Chief Economist Hugh Johnson from Johnson Illington Advisors, thank you.
You're welcome.
Now, speaking of that bank bailout, let's turn to Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson live in New York. Good morning, Jeremy.
Morning, Bill.
We got the quarterly report this morning from the Special Inspector General for the bailout, the $700 billion TARP program, and he said what?
Yeah, this is Neil Barofsky, and he said that out of the $700 billion bailout, there's about $317 billion left. He says we will not get all the money back, mainly because of AIG and the auto companies, which took some of that TARP money. And he said this morning on CNBC, after saying that the TARP was helpful in rescuing the banks, he did have this caveat.
Because of the moral hazard, because of some of the systemic risks that are associated with making these institutions bigger and bigger, trimming their competition, and giving them the opportunity to take more and more risk, systemically, we may be in a more dangerous place even than when we were a year ago.
Okay, Jeremy. And meanwhile, some reports this morning about the White House's future plans for the TARP. What's that about?
Right. An administration official confirms to Marketplace that the program is going to start to shut down by the end of the year. That's the program that pumped money into the big banks. It will stop lending to new institutions. And the president expected to announce today some new efforts to lend money to smaller community banks.
Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson in New York. Thank you. You're listening to Marketplace Morning Report for Wednesday, October 21st at marketplace.org. The debate in Congress over the health care overhaul has brought to light something that you might not know. Health insurance companies are exempt from antitrust law. That means they can legally fix prices. Well, Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer tells us there is legislation being considered today that might change that.
The House Judiciary Committee is considering a bill that would lift the health insurance industry's exemption from antitrust law. Congress passed the exemption in 1945. It was supposed to be temporary, a way to ease insurers into regulation. But it's still on the books because of some behind-the-scenes maneuvering. All these years later, health insurance companies can still get together and decide what to charge you and what to pay your doctor. J. Robert Hunter is with the Consumer Federation of America. He says consumers would be surprised to learn that rules prohibiting price fixing don't apply to health insurers.
When you tell them that insurance companies are allowed to get together and do things that the corner, you know, baker couldn't do with the bakery across the street, most people get upset when they hear that.
Antitrust lawyer Jay Angoff says without the antitrust exemption, health insurers would have to compete.
What repealing the antitrust exemption would do would be to force them to become more competitive or go out of business.
Angoff says that competition could lead to lower prices for you and me. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
You've heard us say this before. The dollar has been losing value against foreign currencies. In fact, it's down 25% since 2002. And some Europeans are saying enough is enough. A euro will now buy nearly $1.50. And a top advisor to French President Sarkozy says it's time for Europe to put a stop to the slide in the dollar. Marketplace's John Dimsdale reports from Washington.
Europeans complain the high-priced euro hurts their exports, and they're calling on the European Central Bank to put more euros in circulation to reduce their value. Fred Bergsten at the Peterson Institute for International Economics calls the European concerns ridiculous.
Europe is not uncompetitive at these exchange rates. They are not even running a trade deficit. The U.S. is still running a huge deficit by comparison and must have a somewhat weaker dollar to balance our international position, so I don't have much sympathy.
Besides, Johns Hopkins economics professor Steve Hanke says those complaining politicians can't do much other than keep complaining.
Well, they can't do anything about it because the European Central Bank is independent.
He says if the European Central Bank did try to make the euro cheaper by flooding the market with them or lowering interest rates, the result would be out-of-control inflation. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Oxfam has a new report out today looking at the southeastern U.S. and its vulnerability to climate change. The report views the problem through the lens of demographics, so it identifies the people and the places global warming will hit hardest, both physically and economically. Marketplace's Ashley Milne-Tite reports.
The conventional wisdom goes that coastal inhabitants are worst hit when sea levels rise or hurricanes sweep in. But Oxfam America says that's not necessarily the case. Heather Coleman is a climate change policy advisor with the group.
What we found is that a place like Hilton Head, South Carolina, is actually less vulnerable to climate change because they have more resources to prepare for and cope with something like a hurricane.
Coleman says it's harder for inland towns like Iberia, Louisiana, to pick themselves up after extreme weather strikes.
Those are far more disadvantaged by poverty and other factors, and so they have less of an ability to prepare for and respond to something like hurricane-force winds.
Poorer residents can't always afford to protect their homes, and Spanish speakers don't always understand instructions. A quarter of the Southeast lives in poverty, she says, and many poor communities are located in areas prone to flood, drought, or both. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
In the Great Depression, the U.S. turned to Franklin Roosevelt. In the worst economy since the Depression, we can turn to Roosevelt again in the form of a one-man show that's touring the country. The show is called FDR. The star is Ed Asner. He's best known as Lou Grant of the old Mary Tyler Moore show.
You got spunk.
Well,
I hate spunk.
And more recently, as high-flying Carl Fredrickson of Pixar's hit movie Up.
Come on, boys!
And now, Asner is playing the first president he ever knew. Ed Asner, good morning.
Good morning, Bill.
What do you remember about Roosevelt?
I was 15, coming home from school, and I heard the news of his death, and it was like the ground had been wiped away.
Why did it scare you?
Because he had been God the Father for so many years. All my life had been influenced by him in Washington. And I knew nothing else but Roosevelt.
What do you think FDR could teach us about handling this recession?
He presented the National Recovery Act, which the Supreme Court ruled against, and which started him off on his battle against the Supreme Court. So I went to a high school, for instance, and it's one of the most beautiful edifices that you can find. It's still gorgeous and still operative, and that was a product of the WPA. There is no WPA in the country right now. I would like to see something like that occurring to help make up for these unbelievable job losses that we've undergone.
Yeah, that was the mother of all stimulus packages.
That was.
All this thinking you're doing about FDR's time, the Great Depression, how does that affect your reaction to today's financial mess?
I'm negative about it. I don't think that the reaction by government, by President Obama, has been sufficient. When you see something that, and you hear people who are threatened with losing their homes, etc., and you hear about the stimulus packages and so little of it gravitating down towards the homeowner, the job seeker, I can only feel that something is lacking. It ain't over.
Actor, performer Ed Asner, now touring in a one-man show, FDR. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And by the way, another survivor of the Great Depression is the board game Monopoly. And today, the Monopoly World Championships begin at Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas. So if you think your house's value is down, go check out Baltic Avenue. Those places are going for $50. This is Marketplace Morning Report in Los Angeles. I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.